Have you guys seen the movie Joseph, King of Dreams? Okay. So Joe's going to show us a clip from that's going to illustrate today's scripture, where Joseph is in prison because he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. Oh, he's waiting for the men. We're waiting for the menu to come up. Sorry. So Joseph is in this. He was betrayed. He was accused for something he didn't do. He was thrown in this prison. And he was there for 12, maybe 20 years. And while he's in prison, if you remember about the story of Joseph, Joseph had, when he was a kid, he had dreams from God. These great dreams where he saw pictures of sheaves of wheat bowing down to his sheaf. And then he saw the sun and the moon and these 12 stars all bowing down before him. And he realized that he had this destiny. But this dream got him into trouble. It got him in trouble with his brothers and his father. His brothers betrayed him. They sold him off to slavery into Egypt. Then the dream continued to be with him. And now he's been in prison. And in this story, after years of being in prison, he has not the ability just to have dreams, but God has given him the ability to tell people what their dreams mean. And he tells them, it's not I that interpret your dreams, but God who gives interpretations of dreams. So we're going to watch this for these children and our youth and our church, that you would give them dreams and visions, give them hope for a better future, and help them to know the truth through your word and through your Holy Spirit that shows us Jesus Christ. Bless them and keep them, and help them to have courage like Joseph to tell the truth, even when people won't like it, and even when people forget about us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Genesis 40, verses 1 through 23. Some time after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he waited on them, and he continued for some time in custody. One night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison. Dream, and each dream of its own, with its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But remember me when it is well with you. Please do me the kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so to get me out of this place. For in fact, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a pole, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his cupbearing, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But the chief baker he hanged, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him."
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Would you join me as we profess our faith in the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So last week, we saw how Joseph had been promoted, but now he's in prison. And I was thinking about reflecting on last week, the story, and how Potiphar's wife went so far to accuse Joseph of the very thing that she was trying to entice and tempt him to do. And I'm not going to use names, but as I've read the news or watched things in Israel and in the United States, people are being accused of things that they're saying other people are doing. And it's like this backwards kind of, it's kind of like Joseph Goebbels, the guy who was the propagandist for the Nazis, said, if you tell a lie enough times, people will eventually believe it. And here's Joseph in prison. And yet, God was with him. Amen? The Lord was with him. And whatever he did, he made him prosper, even in prison. And Potiphar, who was in charge of the prison and the chief jailer, made sure that Joseph was committed to care for all the prisoners. And whatever was done there, he was the one to do it. Not only was the Lord with Joseph, but we heard that God showed his steadfast love, or his hesed, his covenant faithfulness to Joseph while he was in prison. And so as we heard this story, Joseph's been in prison a long time. It might have been 12. By the time he's out of prison, he's 30. He's 30. But he came into prison when he's 18. So we're talking at least 12 years in prison. And so Joseph is there, and he's charged by Potiphar and by the chief jailer to care for the prisoners. And so Pharaoh gets angry with the two people from his court, the cupbearer, whose job was to give him his cup and make sure Pharaoh wouldn't get poisoned. Nehemiah is a cupbearer later on in the Old Testament for the king. And then there's the chief baker, who, again, something went wrong, or maybe the Pharaoh got sick or something, and they both went to prison. They're lucky he didn't execute them then and there. And so Joseph was in charge of them, to care for them, to serve them. Because Joseph is a preview of Jesus in a lot of ways. And when Joseph saw that they were disturbed, they shared his dreams with them. But let's go back and look at verse 7 and 8. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody, his master's house, and he says, why are your faces downcast today? I think that's a good question for us to reflect on. When we're scared, when we're fearful, when we're anxious, when we're disturbed by things that we see in this world or things that are going on in our life, or maybe we're having dreams and nightmares or visions or premonitions, it's easy for us to want to seek answers. But these dreams, these visions, these premonitions were meant to turn people to God, because they said to him, he says, why are your faces downcast today? And they said to him, well, we've had dreams and there's no one to interpret them. See, in ancient Egypt, the technology that they had was dream interpretation. They had the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and they had these magical texts that were interpreting dreams. And so when people had these dreams, they would go to the dream interpreters or the sorcerers or the magicians in Pharaoh's court, and they would do all these incantations and rituals and do their magic, or to show them what these omens mean. But they're in prison and they have no access to this dream interpretation technology. But you know what Joseph says to them? He says, do not interpretations belong to God? Do not interpretations belong to God? Interpretations of dreams, interpretations of our lives. Does not all the wisdom in the universe belong to God? Amen? Amen. But how many times in our lives do we have these experiences of things that we don't understand or things that confuse us or terrify us? And we go seeking answers from the experts instead of going to God or going to His Word or going on our knees to prayer. A lot of times I hear Christians and they have nightmares or dreams and they just think that they're attacks from the devil. And we blame so many things on the devil and demons. But sometimes God wants to wake us up. God wants to wake us up sometimes. And next week, we're going to get into the story where how Joseph, he helps deliver Egypt from famine. And that's kind of uncomfortable to talk about in a farming community. Next week, I'm going to talk about famine. But God showed Joseph the truth because God's spirit was with Joseph. God was that current, like Dale said. I love that illustration you had. God's spirit is that current that is moving Joseph beneath the waters, beneath all the sound of the waters. God's spirit with Joseph is that current. And it's no different for us. All these things that are happening, the shaking of the nations, the shaking of the American Christian church and denominations that are crumbling and dividing and going mad with fear and anxiety and suspicion and being offended. You know, Jesus warned us of this great apostasy, this great falling away. You know what that means in the Greek? That word for apostasy or falling away, it means to be offended. And here we see these dreams, and Joseph interpreted them for them because God was with him. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? But because God was with Joseph, he says, please tell them to me. So they tell him the dreams. And it's not important about what happens in these dreams. They move this story along. What's important that we need to know, because we don't need to get caught up in how to interpret dreams. We just need to know that God interprets dreams. Amen? God is the one who gives us interpretation and discernment through His Spirit and through His Word. And Joseph was taught the ways of God by his father when he was getting that special treatment and wasn't always out working with his brothers. His father was teaching him wisdom and the ways of God and who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is and was and how he changed their lives. And so Joseph knows this same God because this God is in prison with Joseph. We serve a God who is willing to be with us when we are in prison. Most of this Bible was written by people who were in chains or in prison. Why? Because God was with them. Now we're here, we're free, we're not in prison. We might be imprisoned in situations in our lives or difficulties or addictions or things, but know that God is with you and God can make you prosper just like Joseph. But people might forget you. You might find yourself in prison longer than you anticipated. And he could have easily been tempted to think that, well, I have this power from God and I can interpret dreams. No, he says interpretations belong to God. But then after he interprets the dream, he says to the cupbearer, he says, remember me when it is well with you. Remember me when it is well with you. Now he's saying that as a prisoner, but I think that those are words that are being echoed through scripture to the life of Jesus because Joseph is a preview of the kind of leader that Jesus is. Remember me when it is well with you. We turn to God in crisis, don't we? But how many of us turn to God when life is good? Or do we just trust the experts? Or we trust our own judgment or our own wisdom? In the book of Proverbs, it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding or your own interpretation. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path.
Just like we watched in that Pilgrim's Progress movie. To take the straight path. To not go to the left or the right, but to keep following the straight path. And Joseph, even though he was in prison, continued to follow the straight path. And God gave him courage to say, "But remember me when it is well with you." He had faith. "And please do me the kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this place." That's crazy. But he believes that God is the God of all things are possible. He knows that this is his one shot, that God has given him this opportunity. That him interpreting their dreams is God working to bring his will. That current is continuing to move of his spirit to bring about the will of God and unfolding his master plan for Israel to become a blessing to all nations. He's bringing it to fruition through this. Even though Joseph might not feel like that because he's in prison. He says, "In fact, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." He's telling the truth, even if people won't believe him. He's telling the truth. And I believe that there are people who are falsely accused in this life, currently, in places, in high places, who are being plotted against. Just like God talks about conspiracies in Psalm 2 and the nations rage and plot against God and his people. But he's saying, "No, I didn't do anything wrong. I've done nothing that they should have put me in the dungeon." And then the other guy, when he finds out the other guy got a favorable interpretation, then he goes to Joseph's, "All right, tell me what my dream means." And Joseph probably didn't want to tell him what his dream meant because he had to tell him the truth. He had to say it with love and with mercy, but at the same time, he had to tell him that wrath was coming. And it's the same way with us. We see that in the New Testament, with the prophets in the Old Testament, or with Jesus. He came to bring good news for the poor. He came to release the captives, but he also came to say, "Repent or perish." He warned the disciples, the religious leaders, that this temple, everything that you see, it's all going to be torn down. There's not going to be a stone left. He had to tell them the truth. And they were both lifted up, just like he said. But the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph and forgot about it. Doesn't get much more heartbreaking than that. You save a guy's life, basically. You reveal the things of God to them, and then they forget about you. And he languishes in prison. But I wonder how much God could speak and train and prepare Joseph through that crucible of suffering in prison, knowing that he had no one else to depend on except God alone to sustain him and get him through this ordeal. Because when you're in prison, you don't know what time it is. You probably lose track of the days. You probably get sick and hungry. And yet, he was not only having to take care of himself, he had to serve everybody else. But let's go to verse 41, or chapter 41. We're going to get a preview of what happens for next week. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh had these dreams for 2 whole years, so God really wanted to get his attention. He dreamed that he was standing by the Nile River, and there came out of the Nile 7 sleek and fat cows, and they grazed in the reed grass. And then 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came out of the Nile after them, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly and thin cows ate up the 7 sleek and fat cows. And Pharaoh awoke. And then he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. And then Pharaoh awoke, and it was a dream. And in the morning, it says Pharaoh's spirit was troubled. That's a big deal, because Pharaoh was the one who was the go-between to the gods and the rest of the people. He was the one who represented the presence of the Egyptian gods with those people. And he's the one who was troubled. It shook him to his core, so he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told him the dream, but there was no one who could interpret his dream to him. In the most powerful empire in the world at that time, there was no one who could interpret his dream. But then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my faults today. I remember my faults today. And once Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, who we know is Potiphar. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own meaning. And a young Hebrew. Hebrews were so despised, they weren't even usually mentioned. So this would have been almost like an epithet. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. And when we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it turned out, I was restored to my office. And the baker was hanged. So Pharaoh, by hearing this, hears that Joseph, when he interprets a dream, he doesn't just say things that are favorable, he says the truth. And Pharaoh is desperate to know the truth. He is shaken at his core. His spirit is disturbed because he has the responsibility over all of Egypt. He's probably paranoid right now. And so then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was hurriedly brought out of the dungeon. And when he shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream. There's no one who can interpret it. And I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And let's say this together. What does Joseph answer Pharaoh? It is not I. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Can you imagine the temptation he would have felt? Tempted to all that power? Like Jesus was when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert. If you can have this whole kingdom, this whole world, if you just bow down to me. He says, no, you will not put the Lord your God to the test. You shall worship the Lord your God only. And Pharaoh had said to Joseph, I hear you interpret dreams. You interpret dreams. He says, no, God interprets. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. And so what Joseph does, he continues when people see that he has these spiritual gifts from God, these gifts of the supernatural, these gifts that reveal the truth in people's life like a prophet. He speaks right into their lives, into the things people might not even know about. It's God who does it through him. And Joseph does not take the bait to think that, well, I've got this gift and now I can take it and do with it what I want. No, he says God is the one who will do this. And God is giving you this dream, Pharaoh, to draw your attention to him because he wants to speak to you. In other words, Pharaoh, he wants you to have a relationship with him where he speaks to you through dreams. And so it is not I, but God who will give the favorable answer. We're going to hear about what that dream is interpreted as next week. But why don't we just take a moment and still yourselves in your heart. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to share this song. PJ and Lindy are going to help me since I'm a little hoarse. It's a song called Redeemed. And it's written from the perspective of someone who's in prison. But I want to invite you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you in ways that you might be in a pit, or you might be imprisoned, or you might be falsely accused by the enemy, or by lies, or by gossip, or things that people have said about you in your past, things that tear at you, or cause you to doubt, or cause you to feel less than the image of God, or that you might not feel loved. But we're going to sing this song, Redeemed. So God, I pray that you would speak to us, that all our dreams, our hopes, our fears, things that might be a blessing or a burden, the truth that you are trying to tell us, to warn us even in these last days that we live in, Lord. Would you interpret the thoughts of our hearts? Would you speak favorably to us to bring us close to you and bring our anxieties to you as we sing this song and we worship and you speak to our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen.